मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरी यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्येश्वरं. So we're reading from Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 39. Please chant. Ya Icha Esha Srijati Idam Avyayo. Ya Eva Rakshatya Avalampate Chayaha. तस्या बलाः क्रीडनम् आहुर् इशितोष् चराचरं निग्रह संग्रहे प्रभुः Translation. The boy addressed the woman. O weak woman, only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never diminished, is the entire world created, maintained, and again annihilated. This is the verdict of Vedic knowledge. The material creation, consisting of moving and non-moving, is exactly like his plaything. Being the Supreme Lord, he is completely competent to destroy and protect. Purport. In this regard, the queens might argue, if our husband was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when in the womb, why has he not been given protection now? To this question, the answer is, Ya Icha Eshaha Srijatidam Avyayo Ya Eva Rakshatya Avalam Patecha Yaha. One cannot argue with the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is always free, and therefore he can protect and can also annihilate. He is not our order carrier. Whatever he likes, he will do. Therefore, he is the Supreme Lord. The Lord does not create the material world at anyone's request, and therefore, he can annihilate everything merely by his will. That is the supremacy. If one argues, why does he act in this way? The answer is that he can do so because he is supreme. No one can question his activities. If one argues, what is the purpose of the sinful creation and annihilation? The answer is that to prove his omnipotence, he can do anything, and no one can question him. If he were answerable to us concerning why he does something and why he does not, his supremacy would be curtailed. So this is a very nice verse. Now it will be a nice thing to discuss various aspects of this verse. So Gajendra, in his prayers, he says, Yasvatmanidam nijamayarpitam kvachit vibhatam kvachatattirohitam avidyadriksakshyubhayam tadikshate. So even Gajendra is saying the same thing. Gajendra is saying that yasvatmanidam nijamaya arpitam kvachit vibhatam kvachatattirohitam. So he's saying, you know, you are a person who is independent. What do? Kvachit vibhatam. Now you create kvachit tirohitam. Now you annihilate. And in between he maintains also. So now you see, this is so nice. Now we can compare it to a child's play. You see this, when it comes to kids, so we have, I don't know what you call that as, you know, where one part fixes with the other and you can make a big ladder. What do you call it as? Parents will be knowing. Hope you got it, whatever I said. Or, you know, you can assume cards. So they make a nice house with the cards. Yes. Okay, building blocks. Only a parent can tell that. You take either building blocks or you take, Lego. Okay. And then or you take cards. So the kids will make it very nicely and they would make it as if that is the goal of life. They'll make it so nicely, all of them. And then after making that, what do? They'll play some time around and they will make sure if you go and touch also, they'll start crying. If you go and touch, you know, they'll shoo you off from there. No one can touch that. They'll make it and they'll protect it very nicely. And after some time, dismantle everything. Immediately dismantle everything. They will, suppose it's made up of card, they will just, with a flick of the hand, they'll break everything. or if it's a Lego or building blocks, you know, they themselves will break it. And you see, the fun that they have when they're building it, the same fun they will get when they're breaking it. So when they're building it, you know, they are very, very serious. They are smiling and things like that. And similar thing happens, you know, when they're breaking it. They're very happy, you know, doing that. And in between, they'll maintain as if that's something which is very, very important in their life. Yes. So that's how the Supreme Personality of God is. Now, if you go and ask the kid that, why are you building? No answer. Why are you protecting? No answer. Why are you, you know, dismantling it again? No answer. Now, what answer they will give? Only answer is, I like it. I'm getting fun out of it. So yes, and I'll do it. Yes. Similar thing is when it comes to Supreme Personality of God. No one can ask him this question. Why are you doing this, O Krishna? Why are you doing this? So Krishna played the flute at the mid of the night. And then all the gopis, you know, they heard this fifth note of Vamshi. And they all came running, you know, to the forest. It was a dense forest. In the middle of the forest, they all assembled. And then Krishna stopped playing his flute and he opened his eyes. He saw so many gopis, lakhs of gopis have come. And then Krishna said, why you have come? Go. Why have you come? Go. This is how Krishna is. One very nice example one devotee was giving. Now suppose we all are sitting in a row for having prasadam. So Krishna starts serving prasadam. So he'll serve the first person. Then suddenly he'll go in the middle and serve someone. Suddenly he'll go at the end and serve someone. And suddenly come to the 10th person and serve, and then 20th person and serve. And suppose you ask this question, why are you doing like this? No, do it sequentially. No, Krishna would say, it's my will. I'll do whatever I want. So this nice point, we have to understand that when it comes to Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's independent. He can do whatever he wants. But obviously, you know, we have to understand one thing that, you know, he's not a person without brain or without intelligence. So he's the most intelligent person. He knows what he's doing. So in this way, when he knows what he's doing, then he knows as well what is the thing that is needed for the welfare of everyone. Right? So now if we ask this question that you protected us in the womb, now you protect us, you know, when we are there, okay, he will do it if he wants it. There have been times when devotees are protected, you know, when they are about to die. And there have been times when a person is very healthy and he's killed or he's dead. In fact, I saw one video where many people who were, you know, just dying. That video was showing like that. I should have retained that video. It was a viral video at that time. So a person is there in the bank, he's depositing cash and, you know, he dies there. And then a government official is stamping some papers. He dies on the chair itself. A judge is giving judgment. He dies, you know, there itself. A person is walking, collapses there. Now you cannot ask question why this is happening. Obviously, karma is there. But if you have a question to the Lord, why is it happening? Then there is no answer to it. Surely there is no answer to it. Right? So in this way, we have to understand our helpless situation. We are extremely dependent on the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes people say that, why we have to worship Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why we have to abide by the rules and regulations? Because we are dependent. There is no question that we can ask why. Why it is like this, we cannot ask. When can you ask why it is like this? When you are independent. When you ask why, and suppose the person says something which is not in accordance to your thinking or thought process, then you can change it. Right? So you can change it. But when you don't have any option, you have no question to ask why. Like for example, when your manager comes and gives you a project, you know that you have to do it. Do you ask the question why? You have to do it. Simple. There is no question to ask why in that. Right? Because you don't have any option. You're dependent on him. You're dependent on your manager. Right? Similar thing is here when it comes to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just do it. Just do it. Sometimes many egoistic people might not be able to digest this fact. How can I follow someone like this? He says and I'll follow. Yes, you have to. There's no option. If you're egoistic, then, you know, if your ego is like mountain, Krishna's one thunderbolt. Just one eye glance is enough to destroy that ego. Right? So this is our helpless state. We have to understand how helpless we are. And we should depend on the Supreme Personality of God. But one thing we understand is we don't fear Supreme Personality of God. We say, do whatever you want, but you know, what I want is I want to do your devotional service. And when someone does devotional service to Krishna, Krishna becomes Vashibhuta. Yes, what do you mean by Vashibhuta? He becomes controlled by the devotee, completely controlled, you know, by the devotee. So, and the devotee goes to any extent to convey this message to Krishna. I think one shloka I recited of Bilva Mangal Thakur, there's another shloka, a very beautiful shloka. He says, Karagrahe vasasadaridae madiye madbhakti pashadrida bandhana nishchalasan tvam krishnahe pralayakoti shatantarepi sarvasya chaura hridaya namochayami. So this person is torturing Supreme Personality of God. A person who is independent has been captured by someone. And what is he saying? Karagrahe vasasada hridaye madiye. He is saying that my hridaya is like karagraha, like a jail. And then he is saying, mad bhakti pasha. Pasha means rope. Mad bhakti pasha, that rope is the rope of bhakti. Mad bhakti pasha dhrida bandhana. Dhrida bandhana nishchalasana. I am going to tie you very, very tightly with this. And you cannot release yourself. And suppose Krishna is asking this question, for how long will you tie me? Then the answer he says, Tvam Krishna pralaya koti shatantarepi, for time immemorial. Time immemorial, I'm going to tie you in my heart. If Krishna says, why are you doing that? Then he says, Sarvasya chaura, you are the greatest thief. So I'm going to give you a punishment. And then he says, Hridaya na mochayami, you cannot escape from my heart now. This is what this devotee Bilva Mangal Thakur says. Yes. So Krishna is independent, no doubt. But one who does bhakti. So a devotee who does bhakti is okay with anything. You know, he tells Krishna, you do whatever you want. I have no problem. Because my job is to do bhakti. You want to kill me, you kill me. You want to protect me, you protect me. I have no problem. But just allow me to do bhakti and allow me to serve you. That's it. I don't want anything in my life. I just want to serve you till my last breath. And again, continue the same thing from the next birth. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti rahitu ketvai. In this verse, a devotee is praying, na dhanam, I don't want dhanam, I don't want wealth. Na janam, I don't want followers. Na sundarim, I don't want a beautiful spouse. Then he says, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani. Then if suppose Lord asks, what do you want, Baba? Tell me, what do you want? Mama janmani, janmani ishvare. Give me birth after birth after birth. And suppose Lord is asking, why you want multiple births? Ahituki bhakti. I want to do your ahituki bhakti. Unmotivated, uninterrupted bhakti I want to do, Lord. This is the prayer of a devotee. Right. So when a devotee is like this, when he's completely surrendered, Krishna has no option but to surrender to the devotee. So all this, when it comes to Lord is independent, he is the one who creates, destroys, maintains, etc., is only for people who are in general. When it comes to devotees, for example, when it comes to Vrindavan, so Krishna would sometimes fight, you know, with his playboys, playmates, all his Gopa friends. And what would happen is, you know, all his Gopa friends would defeat him most of the time. So whenever Krishna would be defeated, so in one such occasion, he said to all the Gopas, you know who I am? I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the creator, maintainer and destroyer. How can you give me this punishment? And all the Gopas were standing and looking at him and they're like, look at him, what he's saying. They're all looking at each other and laughing at him. And when all of them were laughing, Krishna felt, did I speak anything wrong? Did I speak anything wrong? Yes, Krishna started thinking like that. And then he forgot what he spoke. And then he said, okay, tell me, what am I supposed to do? This is how, you know, devotees control Krishna. If suppose Krishna says, you know, I'm the maintainer, I'm the creator, I'm the destroyer, you know, in front of devotees, pure devotees, they will say, ah, theek hai, that's okay. Who has asked you? I know. I know. I am supposed to serve you. So tell me, what should I do for you? I want to serve you. Tell me how to serve you. This is the mode of devotees. So devotees are not considering Krishna as supreme. Obviously, he is supreme, no doubt about it. But when devotees worship him, they worship him as their own. Like the love and affection that we have for our family members, the same love and affection, or much greater than that, is given to Krishna. In fact, when it comes to Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda's son was Krishna. But all the other elderly gopis who had kids, so they all would treat Krishna to an extent that they're ready to sell off their own kid to maintain Krishna. That was the mood of all the elderly gopis there. And all the cows, they were not interested in their calves. They were interested in Krishna. As soon as they would see Krishna, the milk will pour from their udder. And even the other gopis, when they would see Krishna, the milk would just drip off from their breasts. This was the love that devotees would give to Krishna in Braj. And when it comes to us, we are followers of Brajavasis, because our Acharya is a Brajavasi, that is Prabhupada. Yes, so we are his followers. So, but obviously, we also have to love Krishna like that. That's very, very important. But if we are egoistic people, then yes, this verse is very, very important for us. Krishna is the creator, maintainer, destroyer. And if you ask a question, why he does that? No answer. No answer. Yes. So this is what this verse talks about. Yes. Let's move ahead and let's see now what Yamaraj wants to tell all these queens. Text 40. Let's read the translation. Sometimes one loses his money on a public street. I'm sure you might have had this experience, where everyone can see it and yet his money is protected by destiny and not seen by others. Does the man who lost it gets it back? On the other hand, if the Lord does not give protection, even money maintained very securely at home is lost. If the Supreme Lord gives one protection, even though one has no protector and is in the jungle, one remains alive. Whereas a person well protected at home by relatives and others sometimes dies, no one being able to protect him. So this is a very nice shloka. Let's read the purport. These examples of the supremacy of the Lord. Our plans to protect or annihilate do not act. But whatever he thinks of doing actually happens. The examples given in this regard are practical. Everyone has had such practical experiences, and there are also many other clear examples. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj said that a child is certainly dependent on his father and mother, but in spite of their presence, the child is harassed in so many ways. Sometimes, in spite of a supply of good medicine and an experienced physician, a patient does not survive. Therefore, since everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our only duty is to surrender unto him and seek his protection. Very, very instructive shloka for all of us, this is a takeaway, for all of us today. Let's try to discuss the shloka in detail. I'm sure, we have experienced this, that at least I've experienced that, you lose your valuable stuff somewhere and then you realize that, you left it there and it's a public place. And then you go there and you find it. Oh, okay, it's there. And you thank God, oh, thank you very much. I found it. And then sometimes when we see this happened with my maternal grandfather, so all his documents, all the, site documents, he had some good number of sites. He had a good number of sites. All the documents of that site were there in the bank. So what the bank manager did was, he was his friend. He forged his sign. Yes. And then he took over all the site. And in one night, my maternal grandfather was a poverty-stricken person. He was a very rich person. He had oil mill and he had so many maybe some hundreds of sites, and so much of acres of farming land, agricultural land. Everything was there, and everything was just forged. He forged the signature and he took over everything, and then no one could do anything for it. And we see sometimes, people deposit in the bank, they keep a lot of gold in the treasure, in the, what do you call it as, locker. You keep it in the locker. And then thieves will come. And they might have watched some movies, and they will get some tricks from there. and then you know, they'll execute the plan very nicely and then gone. And we were thinking that, okay, it is very protected. And next day we realize everything is gone. Now tell me, what can we do for that? Nothing. Completely helpless we are. Completely helpless. This goes on to say that things are not under our control. Not under our control. So we can never say that I can control this, I can control that, I can protect this, I can protect that. No. We cannot do anything. We cannot do anything. One very nice example given here, another example that is given here is, now there are many, many people who stay in the forest. Yes. Or sometimes people go for trekking and, you know, they have a nice time, they come back. There's so many carnivorous animals there, but they're protected. And sometimes the same people, when they're wandering in the streets of a metropolitan city, either they meet with an accident or they're just killed like that. They're stabbed by some person. Can you imagine this? Means anything can happen at any time. Anything can happen at any time. And we have no control over it, but still, no, we are proud. Yes, but still we are proud that, oh, no, no, I can still manage something. I'll do this. I'll do that. And plan A is missing. You know, what happens? I'll go for plan B, execute that. And surely plan B is going to work. So in this way, we see in our life, you know, we try to control things which is governed by the powers which we cannot understand also, the superior powers. And we are just mere mortals of this world. In fact, you know, one of the examples that was given is, we are like the mosquitoes, you know, wandering here, you know, around, and we buzz around and irritate people around. Yes, that's how we all are. That's how we all are. And then, you know, so, and that mosquito will never know that when that mosquito will be killed. Never, never. Similar is our case. Similar is our case. One devotee was giving a nice example when I was studying. So one brahmachari had come to give class. And this was some 4 or 5 years back. No, I still remember that analogy, example. So he said, when we are reading a book, suppose there is an ant going on the book. What do we do? Yes, that's what we do. So he made a very wonderful point. He said that even we all are like ants on someone else's book. And if he desires, he can just... Yes. That is our current situation. So a person, a mortal being of this world, any living entity of this world, cannot be proud if he understands the real position. We have to understand our real position. Yes. We might be proud currently of our beauty, of our wealth, of our strength. I don't know if he's the same person. I think Muhammad Ali or someone who was a very strong wrestler or boxer, and then he is the one who got Parkinson's disease. Okay. So now when it comes to Parkinson's disease, it means, you know, when you lift a cup of tea or coffee, you cannot. You know, the hand shivers. That's Parkinson's. So this person had made the statement, I am the strongest. This was a statement when he had made when he was there on the boxing arena. I am the strongest. Yes. And then, you know, when Parkinson's disease he got, then he said, I forgot to complete the statement. I am the strongest, provided God allows me so. Yes. And when it comes to beauty, you know, we have heard so many criminal cases. A girl is very, very beautiful and suddenly, you know, a rogue comes and then puts the acid on the face of that girl. And that face, which was extremely beautiful and charming, and, you know, the boys would just faint, you know, looking at the beauty of that girl. Now, you know, the same people who wanted to, you know, literally relish the beauty of the face of that girl now run away, you know, as soon as they find that girl on the street. Anytime, anything can happen. Right? So we have to understand our helpless situation. We are very, very helpless, extremely helpless. Every night when we sleep, what is the guarantee next day we'll get up? No guarantee. There are many, many cases where a person has slept and slept. Never has opened his eyes after that. We say the person has gone to deep sleep. So like this, you know, we have to understand our helpless situation and accordingly, you know, stay humble and stay, you know, stay grounded all the time. Sometimes the Maya Shakti, you know, she helps us to jump in air. Yes. So, you know, some illusory thing will come to us, you know, maybe some promotion or some increment or some glorification, some position, or whatever, whatever. And then we start jumping in ecstasy. We are in air, but we don't understand it's temporary. And anytime it can be taken away, any time. Can you imagine, you know, during this earthquake in Nepal or tsunami in the South India when it happened? Yes. I don't think people would have ever thought that they would be on streets in just one night. I don't think anyone would have thought about that. And people who travel in the bus, you know, they're like sleeping very peacefully and they're thinking they're going to reach the destination. And the bus topples. It topples the valley and then died. They're not dead. So in this way, you know, this is our helpless condition. And when we start thinking that, oh, I am something and I can do this, I can do that. Yes, we can. How? Only by the mercy of Supreme Personality of God. So devotees understand this thoroughly. They understand this thoroughly. They're not proud of anything. Who are proud? The ones who don't understand what is our current position. What is our position? When they don't understand our current position, so at that time people become proud and they start behaving very, very weirdly. So not just when they become proud, so there are various other things that a person does. He'll start bullying people, he'll start pulling others down, he'll start chastising others, start criticizing others, start proving others to be lower than that person, and so on and so forth. Right? So these are all demonic qualities. Demonic qualities. But a devotee who understands thoroughly that who is Supreme Personality of Godhead and what is our level in front of him, then that devotee will remain always humble. And understanding this, a devotee surrenders to Supreme Personality of Godhead. Completely surrenders. Yes? Like, for example, I'm sure you might have done this to your kids. Now your kid wants to go somewhere out to play, and then you have closed the door and you're saying you cannot go out. And the kid is like, no, I want to go out. Please allow me to go. No, please. No. Nowadays, kids don't say please. Allow me to go out. I want to go out. And then you say, no, I'm not going to allow you. And then, like, when the kid understands I cannot do anything, then literally the kid starts crying, please, I want to go out. Literally, the kid surrenders. The kid surrenders. And then he starts saying, you tell whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't know if that's happening, with you, but at least, with our generation, it was happening. Current kids, I don't know if they beg and pray also. Yes. So this is what is the thing. When it comes to, surrender, we understand the position of the person that he can do anything. Okay. One devotee says it's happening. Yes. So we have to understand the situation. What is that? Lord is that Supreme Personality of Godhead who has full control. And we are those living entities who are fully controlled. We are fully controlled. He is the controller who controls everything, and we are fully controlled except for our desires. Right? So in this way, when a person understands this, then he accepts the last, the Charama Shloka of Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Please repeat. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishyami Masucha. See, till now, whatever I described is very much good for materialists. So they can be scared like this, saying everything is controlled. But when it comes to devotees, why do devotees surrender to Supreme Personality? Let's understand that. See, when a devotee is sincerely aspiring to attain Krishna this very lifetime, and then when he sees that he's not able to control his anarthas, he's not able to control his desires, but he's having that intense desire to attain Krishna, but then he's not able to practice bhakti very properly. He's chanting, but every bead, Maya Shakti or the mind is taking us here and there, taking us for a ride. We are not getting that taste in bhakti. And at the same time, we hear such Bhagavatam classes which are strong and which says, we are controlled. Yes. So when we are literally hankering to attain Krishna this very lifetime, as soon as possible, and we're literally endeavoring towards that, and when we find so many obstacles on the path, be it family members, be it our mind, be it our past samskaras, the past impressions, or be it our dirty desires, or be it anything for that matter, when we find so many obstacles, At that time, a devotee surrenders, saying, I've done a lot of endeavor, O Lord. I've already endeavored a lot. And now I see that no endeavor of mine is working. No plan of mine is working. O Lord, Tumi to eka upai. You're the only upai. You're the only person. And then he says that, I have no other upai. I have no other shelter. Yes, I have no other shelter. You are the only shelter. Why you are the only shelter? Because you're Supreme Personality. You can do anything. Yes. You're the only person who can help me. Please help me now. Please help me. Yes. So in fact, I was telling this from last few days, I'm saying this to various devotees who are calling me for counseling. So every crisis is an opportunity to depend on Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every crisis in our life. Every crisis. We have discussed this in the last session also. So every crisis that is there in our life, especially the obstacles on the path of bhakti, is an opportunity to completely depend on the Supreme Personality of God. And sometimes Krishna puts it purposely, so that we depend on Him completely. Yes. Because we might not be able to depend. So suppose things are going well, it's very smooth. Everyone around is very favorable. The boss is favorable and the company, the everything is favorable in the company also. And when it comes to our mind, even that is favorable. So at that time, we'll do normal sadhana every day. Our 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, reading, hearing, etc., etc. Okay. But when some problem comes, so at that time, what happens? Automatically, the beads, they are so important at that time. And then you cry out, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Oh Lord, please help me. I'm stuck here. Please help me. Everyone becomes Gajendra at that time. The beads act like the lotus flower and then we pick up the beads and please help me. This is the mood. This is the mood of devotees, when some problem comes. That's why Kunti Maharani says that please give me more and more problems. Why? Because whenever we are in crisis, we remember you intensely. So when it comes to devotees, why do they surrender to Krishna? Because Krishna wants them to surrender and they want to attain Krishna this very lifetime. And when they want to attain Krishna this very lifetime and they're endeavoring on the path of bhakti, they're not getting taste in bhakti and there are a lot of obstacles that they see. They've endeavored a lot to remove the obstacles. At that time, finally, the devotee understands, Bhai, mujhse kuch nahi hoga. Humse na ho payega. I cannot do it. I cannot. At that time, he goes to Krishna, he says, Sarva karana karanam. you are the cause of all everything and you are the one who can remove all the obstacles in no time. See, all the sense gratification desires which are piled up in our heart, which are like much, much greater than the Himalayan mountains. Krishna can crush that like anything. Easily, easily. So that last stanza of Narasimha Aarti, we say, right? Tava kara kamala varena kam adbhuta shringa dalita hiranyakashipu tano bringa keshavadrita narahari rupa Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare. So in this line, there's one line which is very, very nice. It says that Tava Kara Kamalavare Nakham Adbhuta Shringham Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Pringham. So this devotee is praying and he's saying that, oh Lord, how did you kill Hiranyakashipu, He's telling the Lord. How did you kill Hiranyakashipu? Like a small child, he kills an insect in the hand. With two fingers, the way the child kills the insect, similarly you have killed the Hiranyakashipu. And who was Hiranyakashipu? With one eyebrow, when it is raised up, all the Devi Devtas were sure. The Surya would change the temperature. The Vayu, would get some breeze to cool that person, Hiranyakashipu. And all the other Devi Devtas would be there in front of him, glorifying him. That Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, was crushed by the Lord like a small child crushes the insect, between his two fingers. And when it comes to Prahlad Maharaj, there was only one Hiranyakashipu. For us, there are many Hiranyakashipus in the heart, jumping. Yes, they're troubling us so much. And when we surrender to Supreme Personality of Godhead, at that time, what happens? The thing that we were not able to do, the thing that, you know, we were not able to overcome, those anarthas which were literally torturing us or tormenting us so many times, you know, so many days after days and weeks and years together, you know, those anarthas, like, you know, the Hiranyakashipus in the heart, if Lord desires, in no time, in no time. Yes. But that will happen when we become like Prahlad, completely surrendered. Oh Lord, you manage now. Enough. Lot of anger management sessions I've attended. Lot of lust management sessions I've attended. Lot of greed management sessions I've attended. Lord, nothing is working. Nothing is working. What will I do? Tell me. When I get angry, you know, the person who gives session, he says, take a moment and think about it. How can I think, oh Lord, when I get angry? When, you know, there's one pastime of Ajamil. So Ajamil was a very nice nice boy, very obedient to his father. Once he went to the forest to collect wood for the yagya, and then he saw a prostitute embracing a person. And then he's looking at them, and he knew all the Shastra. And at that time, he's contemplating. No, Shastra say we shouldn't look at this. Shastra say we shouldn't meditate on this. He's contemplating all that, but still, now that particular scene got impressed on his mind, and that person was carried away with that impression to such an extent that he kicked out his parents, he kicked out his good wife, and then he brought that prostitute home. Can you imagine this? Yes. It doesn't work. It doesn't work by rendezvous. That person knew all the Shastra. Yes. And he was meditating, he was contemplating when he was seeing the scene that was going around, that was happening in front of him. He was contemplating. Shastras say this, Shastras say that. I've heard this from my superiors. He was contemplating. But what happened? So the point that I'm trying to make here is, the thing that Supreme Personality can do like this, we cannot do even lifetime after lifetimes put together. That is the reason we see throughout Bhagavatam, devotees just surrender to Krishna. I surrender unto you, Lord. Enough is enough. How many lifetimes more I'll try? Now, every time, every lifetime, I've got a wrestling match with the mind in the wrestling arena. Or I've got a wrestling match with Maya Shakti. And I don't have any weapon. She comes with Trishul. She comes with Trishul and she keeps poking me. And I'm so foolish that all the time I'm trying to, go away, you know, from that Trishul. But she's so expert. She just puts the Trishul on me every time. She pokes me with that Trishul every time. Oh Lord, you know, enough is enough. How much more I'll slog in this material world? How much more? Yes. And how much more? You know, I don't have any other plans also now. I don't have any other plans. All the plans I've executed, you know, lifetime after lifetime. And same thing again I'm doing now. But now, after coming to Bhakti, after reading Bhagavatam, now I'm understanding that I cannot do anything. Yes. All the plans, you know, which I've done is all nishphala. There is no phala to it. There is no fruit to all those plans, you know, that I've executed. The only thing that I understood from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Why? Aham Tvam Sarva Papitya. Because you are going to take care of me. And you have given confirmation. Ma Sucha, don't worry. So Lord, I'm surrendering unto you. This is the mood of a devotee. A devotee wants to attain Krishna, and only for that reason. He wants to get rid of all the obstacles, and he understands his obstacles cannot be just moved. And even an inch by his endeavor, he prays to Supreme Personality of Godhead with utter helplessness, like Gajendra offered his prayers or Draupadi offered her prayers. Right? So this is what devotees have to do. Right? This is what devotees have to do. Completely surrender to Krishna. And how do we surrender to Krishna? By every single day practicing our sadhana very nicely, telling Krishna that this is the means by which I'm surrendering to you. By chanting every single day, 16 rounds, following 4 regulative principles. Not breaking the regulative principles, you know, in any case. We cannot think of, okay, today I'll just tweak in the regulative principle, tomorrow onwards I'll follow. No, tomorrow never comes. Never. And then reading and hearing, you know, that's what helps us to be in this position, whatever I spoke for last, 45 minutes. That all the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita reiterates or reinforce the same point again and again and again, that how helpless we are and how much dependent we have to be on Supreme Personality of God. So in this way, you know, only one solution we have in our life is surrender to Krishna and nothing else. Right? Let me know if you have any question on this concept. Text 41. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work. Now, I think all of you are thorough with this concept of karma. I think all of you can give a class on this now. And when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies in different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. Here it is very plainly explained that God is not responsible for living entities accepting different types of bodies. One has to accept a body according to the laws of nature and one's own karma. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that a person engaged in material activities should be given directions by which he can intelligently apply his activities to the service of Lord to become free from material bondage of repeated birth and death. The Lord is always ready to give directions. Indeed, his directions are elaborately given in Bhagavad Gita. If we take advantage of these directions, then in spite of our being conditioned by the laws of material nature, we shall become free to attain our original constitution. Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam taradyate. We should have firm faith that Lord is supreme and that if we surrender to him, he will take charge of us and indicate how we can get out of material life and return home back to Godhead. Without such surrender, one is obliged to accept a certain type of body according to his karma, sometimes as an animal, sometimes a demigod, and so on. Although the body is obtained and lost in due course of time, the spirit soul does not actually mix with the body, but is subjugated by the particular modes of nature with which he is sinfully associated. Spiritual education changes one's consciousness so that one simply carries out the orders of Supreme Lord and becomes free from the influence of the modes of material nature. So this is a very nice thing that Prabhupada is mentioning here. So when it comes to body, so we say that we are bound in the body, we are bound in the subtle body, we are bound in the gross body. So it's not like that. We are not bound.
Yes.
Our situation is like, a person is there, we are holding his hands and we are saying, leave me, leave me, leave me. Hari, you're holding the hand, you're supposed to leave. Right? The person's hand is there and we are holding his hand and we are saying, leave me. And we are holding his hand very tightly. That's what is our situation. When it comes to our death, so what happens at the time of death? Yamraj comes or Yamadutas come. And at that time, Yamadutas pull the person out of the body. And what is the person saying? No, 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 I want to be here. I want to be here. I want to be here. So who is bound? Who is bound? So we are holding on to this body. So this subtle body, gross body, we are holding on to it. We are holding on to it. And since we are holding on to it, who can help us? No one. No, we have to help ourselves here by practicing bhakti. So when a person understands, see, this is what is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. So what happens with the devotee? He understands that he is not the body, he is spirit soul. He understands that this is just a temporary setup. He understands his ultimate goal, that is attaining Krishna. With all this understanding, a devotee becomes detached from the body. You see, all these verses that we're discussing, these are very, very high verses, literally high level verses. Anyone who meditates on this verse becomes completely detached from this bodily conception of life. In fact, there are future verses which are even more intense. So you see that when a person understands this, that I'm not the body, I'm spirit soul and other things that I just mentioned, he becomes detached from this body. And as soon as it gets detached from this body, there is no pain. There is no pleasure. Yes. And when it comes to getting bound, now he's not bound at all. That is what is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. A devotee is not bound in this body. Krishna comes at the time of death and then he says, chalo, and the devotee just leaves and the body just collapses there. This is how it is because a person is detached from the body. And we can understand now, I am sure all of you are very clear with the concept of karma. Yes. So depending on our karma, we get the body. So whatever we have desired throughout our life, suppose a person is very ugly and then again and again he looks at the celebrity's face and he desires, oh, when will I become handsome like that? Oh, when will I become beautiful like that? Krishna says, tathastu. Whatever piety you have, let me put it on your face as a makeup. And next lifetime, you get a beautiful face, a very nice built body, and so on and so forth. You know, also, you know, depends on the karma and other aspects. Right? So what we desire and what karma we are doing, what activities we are doing, that will decide. Right? But when it comes to a devotee is like, I just want to follow instructions of Krishna. And that is already given in Bhagavad Gita. From chapter 1 onwards, not till chapter 18, all these instructions are meant for us. And anyone who reads these verses, you know, very scrutinizingly, very nicely, what happens with that person? Those instructions, when he implements in his life, automatically he gets elevated in his consciousness. So currently we are at a low conscious level. No doubt about that. Why I'm saying no low conscious level? Because we are still living a animal life. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And since animals have low consciousness, they do only these four activities. Just by reading Bhagavad Gita and implementing those verses in our life, the consciousness level rises, not to a very different level altogether. And when that happens, so what happens to that person? Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. That person surrenders to Supreme Personality. And what does Supreme Personality do? He says, mayam etam tarantite. I am the one, so Krishna is saying, I am the one who will help that devotee to cross this bhavasagar, to cross this ocean of material existence. Right? So in this way, we see that when a person is not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when a person is not practicing bhakti, so that person is bound to take another body for sure. There is no doubt about that. He has to take another body. Why? Because every activity that he is doing is giving rise to another body. But what about a devotee? A devotee does every activity in his life to give pleasure to Krishna. So now where is karma in that? Right? So that is called as akarma. Akarma basically means doing all the activities for service of Krishna. And when we do akarmic things, you know, every single day, then there is no question of making another body. There is no body for the next life. The only body or only destination is Goloka Vrindavan. Now go there and enjoy with Krishna, you know, jumping around. Yes. And then another point that is mentioned here is body is obtained and lost in due course of time, but the spirit soul does not actually mix with the body. This point is very, very important. So when it comes to spirit soul is inside the body and it is untouched by the body. Please understand. Untouched by the body. Like when the person sits in the car, so he doesn't become the car. He's untouched by the car. Just by the will of the driver, he can just come out of the car. Right? Similar is the situation of the spirit soul. So spirit soul is not mixed with the body. Spirit soul is completely different, you know, from the body. So when we say where does spirit soul reside, we say it resides in the region of the heart. We don't say it resides in the heart. Yes, we say it in the region of the heart, in that space, not stuck to the body, right? But what's happening? Because of so many lifetimes of sense gratification, the person is made to believe that I am this body, right? Made to believe thoroughly. Thoroughly is made to believe. And because of that, when he desires, in the previous sessions we have described, who comes into picture? Three modes of material nature. And they would help us not to fulfill the desires. But when anyone who practices bhakti, there is a huge transformation from sense gratification to service to Krishna. And then when this transformation happens, the person is delivered from the clutches of birth and death. Completely delivered. So in this particular purport, we have understood that the spirit soul is holding onto the body and body is not holding onto the spirit soul. Yes, this is a very, very nice takeaway from today's class. The spirit soul is holding onto the body and body is not holding onto the spirit soul. And the spirit soul is independent. It does not need anybody. It does not need anybody. Yes. But still it is holding onto the body saying, oh, I need it. I need this. Without this body, I cannot exist. Right? That is currently our situation. Let me know if you have any question on this concept. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 42. Just as a householder, although different from the identity of his house, thinks his house to be identical with him. So the conditioned soul, due to ignorance, accepts the body to be himself, although the body is actually different from the soul. This body is obtained through a combination of portions of earth, water, and fire. And when the earth, water, and fire are transformed in the course of time, the body is vanquished. The soul has nothing to do with this creation and dissolution of the body. Purport: we transmigrate from one body to another in bodies that are products of our illusion. But as spirit soul, we always exist separately from material conditional life. The example given here is that a house or a car is always different from its owner. So we have discussed this point. But because of the attachment, the conditioned soul thinks it to be identical with him. A simple example is, suppose you have, say, Audi. And then you're going on for a ride. And unfortunately, you get stuck in the traffic of Bangalore. The previous traffic, not the current traffic. Yes. And then there is a person who comes on his bike. He's on a very great speed. And then he just scratches a big scratch on your Audi car. And the person, when he gets down from the car and he sees the big scratch, you know, he gets a heart attack for sure. Why? Because he identifies himself with the car. My car. My. This is mine. This is mine. That is the reason. Right? That is the reason. That's what is given here. So when you start thinking that this is identical to me, then that's the problem. And then a car or a house is actually made up of material elements. As soon as the material elements combine together properly, the car or house exists. And when they are disassembled, the house or car is disassembled. The spirit soul, however, always remains as he is. So you see, whatever happens to this body, no problem. Spirit soul shouldn't have any problem. But a spirit soul goes through the pain when body goes through some, like anything happens to the body, the soul goes through the pain because the soul is thinking that I am this body. That is the reason. Now, I think this concept of body soul should be so clear that even if someone wakes you up and says, tell me something on body soul. Yes, we should be able to, you know, speak all these things. Yes. And then last verse for today. Yeah, last or second last. As fire, although situated in wood, is perceived to be different from the wood. As air, although situated within the mouth and nostrils, is perceived to be separate. And as the sky, although all-pervading, never mixes with anything. So the living entity, although now encaged within the material body of which it is a source, is separate from it. The same thing is again, you know, repeated very nicely. In Bhagavad Gita, Supreme Personality of Godhead has explained that material energy and spiritual energy both emanate from him. So this is that verse, 10th chapter, 8th verse. The material energy is described as me bhinna prakriti rashtada, thus 8 separated energies of Lord. But although the 8 gross and subtle material energies, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, are stated to be bhinna. So this verse comes in 7th chapter. Now, if you want to refer, 7.4, this verse. That is, bhumer apo nalo vayur kammano buddhi revacha ahankara mityamme bhinna prakriti rashtada. So look at the purports of Srila Prabhupada, how authentic they are. Prabhupada is just mentioning the translation from Bhagavad Gita here. He's not putting his own, some own ideas here. Right? And then he says, as fire appears separate from wood, and as air, as the air flowing through the nostrils and mouth of the body appears separate from the body, so the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears separate from the living being, but is actually separate and not separate simultaneously. So if you remember, this is the concept of Achintya Bheda Bheda. So we are one with the Lord in quality, but we are different when it comes to quantity. That is what is this line, which says that actually separate and not separate simultaneously. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, propounded by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. According to the reactions of karma, the living being appears separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually is very intimately related with the Lord. Consequently, even though we now seem neglected by the Lord, he is actually always alert to our activities. Under all circumstances, therefore, we should simply depend on the supremacy of Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus revive our intimate relationship with him. We must depend upon the authority and control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, one point which I would like to explain is how close is Supreme Personality of Godhead to all of us? He is the most closest person. How much close? He is there in us. No, he is there in this body with us always. Always. When we come out of this body, he's there with us. When we go to another body, he's there with us. When we leave that body and go to another body, he's there with us. We are there in human body, he's there. We go to animal body, he's there. We go to the body of amoeba, he's there. So he's there always with us, always. So that this person, who is called a Supreme Personality of Godhead or Paramatma, is so very tightly connected to all of us. So very tightly connected. But currently, our state is we are Bahirmukh. Bahirmukh basically means we have taken our face away from Krishna. So we are very close. Look at this. We are very close. But we have taken our face away from Krishna, so we are not able to see Krishna. What are we supposed to do? Just turn our face towards Krishna. That's it. And how do we turn our face towards Krishna? This is the process of bhakti. When we practice bhakti, so that time, the process helps us to turn our face towards Krishna. Now we were Bahirmukh. Now we start facing towards Krishna and we understand how close we are. Very, very close. Look at this. In fact, and I'm showing a big space because he's very, very close. I cannot show that. Right? And the day we realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how close he is, we will be that person who will be the most fearless person in the entire creation. We'll be completely fearless. Why do we fear currently? This person will affect me like this, or this situation will affect me like this, and so on and so forth. How will I overcome this? How will I overcome that? All right, it's easy to overcome. Why? Supreme Personality of Godhead will take us. He will do the rest. Whatever is needed, he will do. Right? And whenever that devotee realizes that Lord is there in the heart, at the same time, at that very moment, he becomes completely fearless. Completely fearless. That is the reason we see the sadhus are very fearless. They are ready to go anywhere. Forest, they are ready to go to any forest. They are ready to go to any multinational company to give a talk in front of all the so-called educated people. They are ready to do anything and face any situation. Why? Because they have realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their heart. So in this way, when we are practicing bhakti, our current situation of being Bahirmukh, we will turn towards Krishna. And the day we turn towards Krishna and we get Sakshat Darshan of Krishna and we look at this beautiful face, we would not need anything of this world. We'll be completely satisfied. Right? So in this way, this verse, it talks about that how when the spirit soul is there within, it is untouched by the body. And similarly, when it comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even he is there in the body, but he's untouched by the body. And when it comes to the relationship between the two, Jivatma and Paramatma, they are the most closest people, the closest personality. So anyone, suppose someone asks you, who is the closest person to you? The answer is Paramatma. Not spouse, no kids, no parents. They are not closest to us. They are always away from us. But when it comes to Paramatma, is always with us, tightly connected. So I guess we can... we can stop here and then we can take some questions now. Okay, exactly same thing happens to me always. What happened with Ajamil Prabhuji? Ajamil was able to give it up all at once, but I'm not able to worse. Okay, I'm worse than Ajamil. Yeah, all of us are like that only, don't worry. But by the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga, we can overcome that. What should be our behavior when you have to deal with... Okay, there's one more question I guess before this. How to deal with a proud or egoistic people? We just ignore thinking that he does not have knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. Or we feel compassionate that how unfortunate this person is, that he's not able to understand his current situation. So we feel compassionate. We don't become angry on that person. What should be our behavior when you have to deal with irresponsible people? For example, let's say I'm not very attached to the car, but some irresponsible person driving rashly comes and hits. In general, the emotion I go through is anger, more than pain out of attachment. Anger because of irresponsibility. This is just an example. Okay. When most of the world is like that, taking advantage of someone who is forgiving, what should be our attitude, approach? one thing I learned from the lectures is we should be forgiving. Does that apply in cases like these also? This was last year. I was coming back from Sriram Prabhu's place. So we had some session in his house and we were, me and one more devotee was coming back. So we were there on the bike. I was sitting behind. And then there was a huge car, Bolero. And that person came and the person was drunk. And he just hit us from behind. So we were on Pulsar. So the space between the tire and the, what do you call it as, the guard which was there, well, that got stuck in the mud guard or the guard of the Bolero. And that was huge, that was a very huge accident, you know, that was. But by the Lord's mercy, nothing happened to us. And then when we got down from the car, you know, the devotee was there with me. He tried fighting with him, but that person was so drunk and he was so arrogant that nothing could be done at that point of time. Nothing. So, you know, since you know, we have been speaking this from quite some time, I was just understanding what is the situation. I understood good for nothing. Even if I shout at him, even if I fight with him, nothing is going to happen. So that devotee was telling, no, you have to pay for this. But then, you know, that person was like, I will not give you a single penny. So that was the mode. What can you do at that situation? Yes. The only thing that we can say is, okay, no karma, what to do? You know, we can obviously get down and tell, no, pay for it. But then, no, apart from that, if he's arrogant and if he's really a gone case, you cannot do anything at that point of time. You cannot do anything at that point of time. So here you're saying that, you know, we might not have attachment, but this is attachment only. You know, when suppose you don't need something, okay, and that is destroyed. So at that time, what will be your behavior? It was not anything that was useful to me and it is gone. So it's okay. But, you know, when we are attached to something which is very useful to us, we, you know, then we feel pain. And because of that pain, anger comes out. Yes. Anger will not come out just like that. And when it comes to irresponsibility of the person, yes, we can obviously get down and try to fight and speak to that person if he's a sensible person. Nowadays, I see, you know, there is accident and the person who is, you know, who is on the wrong side or, you know, who has committed a mistake is not ready to agree. He's not ready to agree. So we are in such world, you know, what can be done? And when even if we fight with that person, nothing happens. No, nothing happens. We can try, but once we understand that person is good for nothing, yes, so at that time we can just leave the place, you know, instead of literally fighting and, you know, pulling down our consciousness like anything, right? So in this, and in fact, one of our devotees, he met with an accident, you know? And you know, that person literally started you know, abusing him and beating him and things like that, even when it was not his mistake. That sort of world we are in currently, you know. So the point that I'm trying to make is, when we are saying that the person is irresponsible, so the word itself says that the person does not have any sense. So instead of you know, taking you know, a toll on our life, or you know, going around and fighting with that person, it will not help much. We can try. Once we understand it's not helping, we just leave the place. Yes, or else we are pulled down in our consciousness. Entire day only that will keep going. So this is what I would say. When we feel that the person is irresponsible, senseless, you know, we keep a safe distance from that person. And we pray to the Lord that please help him to get some common sense. Yes. See, one thing that all of us have to understand as devotees is, we will not do anything by which our consciousness will get absorbed in something other than Krishna. So we don't get into any fight. So I remember, this is a very nice example. So one of the devotee was given a passport of one sannyasi to Xerox. Okay. Now, and then that sannyasi had to go to abroad to preach. No, ISKCON sannyasi, one of a very senior devotee. So this devotee was there. So he took the passport and he himself was Xeroxing in the temple. And you know, by mistakely, you know, when he was removing the passport, you know, from the top part of the printer, you know, or scanner. So at that time, the top part got closed immediately. And then he pulled that passport and it got torn into two parts. And then he went to the sannyasi and then, you know, he gave the Xerox And then he gave the passport and he showed, you know, two passports. You know what that sannyasi did? He looked at it and he said, oh, okay, torn. And then he just kept it in his pocket. And he just left from that place. He didn't ask also what happened. He didn't ask also. Yes. Now suppose, you know, that sannyasi would have told this devotee, you are such a careless person. You don't understand this much also. No, you are irresponsible. You are this, you are that, etc., etc. The passport wouldn't have been joined, right, as such, by our blasphemy or chastisement. So the great souls, one who have realized the aspects of life, one who understand that the goal of life is to be absorbed in bhakti always, they don't take all these things seriously. And one thing which I keep telling in my classes when I speak about this topic of irresponsibility is that no one in this world, please make a note of this sentence, no one in this world deserves our serious attention. No one. I repeat. No one in this world deserves our serious attention except Krishna and Guru. Guru and Krishna are the only personalities in our life who deserve our serious attention. Apart from that, no one else has that. So when you get down to fight with someone, it means you're giving a lot of attention to him. He's a very important person in your life. So you're getting down from your car. Yes, or trying to fight with him. Or, you know, whenever you get into some fight or, you know, you start feeling bad because of someone, it means you're giving a lot of importance to that person. Right? So let's you know, meditate on this point that no one in this world deserves serious attention of mine. My serious attention is really very valuable and it has to be given to the most valuable personalities. That is Krishna and Guru and no one else. Hope this answers your question. How to explain to a non-devotee about previous verse that you can't question anything to Krishna about his activities. Devotees can accept it, but non-devotees might not. When souls come to earth through rains, okay, it's a different question. When it comes to non-devotees, I don't think there is any use to talk to them. They, you know, it's all just stool filled here, you know, for non-devotees. Even if you go on explaining to them, give them logic, etc., the stool-like mentality or the ego which is there is so much that they will not listen at all. This is what is my experience. I used to debate a lot before, a lot. And then when I understood that nothing is happening by debate, this person is not at all understanding. Nowadays, what I do is I just judge the person. And then if I understand he's challenging me, then I say that, oh, I don't know this answer. Please forgive me. You can maybe catch some other devotee who knows this answer. I just escape. Because talking to a non-devotee, and if that non-devotee is not submissive, if that non-devotee is submissive, you can speak. If you explain all these things, if you give examples of day-to-day life, a person will be convinced. But if that person is challenging, we don't challenge that person. We don't speak to that person at all. Why? You put an argument, he'll put an argument. Again, you put an argument, he'll put an argument. What is the use of that argument? Instead of better, I chant few rounds in that time. I'll go back home. Krishna will count those. But our arguments, what will happen, you know? We put an argument, he speaks out of his ego. And now since we are not pure devotees, his ego hurts our, argument hits our ego. And then we start speaking out of our ego. Now, instead of speaking that how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire talk changes who is Supreme, you or me. Let us prove that. So with non-devotees, if they're submissive, we can give the day-to-day examples, how we are controlled and how we cannot control various things. And if that non-devotee is a person who is just challenging us, now we just take a leaf from there saying, no, I don't know this topic. Maybe you can read on Quora. You know, Quora, everything is there. You can read on Quora, something like that. This is what has helped me. So it helps me a lot to remain peaceful. So I don't get into all these. Even during Gita course, I remember previously when I used to give class and some atheistic person would ask some question and he would challenge. So sitting on the Vyasasana, I would challenge him. And there would be a huge, war that would happen, the war of words. Then I realized, what's the use of doing all this? Instead, we can chant few rounds at the same time. And then nowadays, if someone asks me some challenging question, then I look at the person's face and I look into his eyes and understand he's challenging. Then I say, maybe I don't know this. I don't have much knowledge. So please forgive me. And that person was challenging. He becomes, huh? There's a question mark on the face. So it's like a slap. When you say that I don't know, no. Even when you know, and when you say that I don't know, it's like a tight slap on the face of the person. That you're not important. I'm not going to tell you anything. Something like that. When souls come to earth through rains, does Paramatma also accompany each soul and every soul? Yes, Paramatma is always with the living entity. Yes. Who is controlling the soul? Is it Yamaraj or Godhead Krishna? So soul is controlled by the Maya Shakti, the external energy of the Lord. And who is under the control of Supreme Personality of Godhead? So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. Under my guidance, everything is happening, he says. But he personally does not come and do this. So he has appointed who? The Prakriti or the Maya Shakti. So she does this, all this job. It's like, you know, in a company, so there are like a supervisor is there who is controlling everyone. Now, if you ask this question, who is controlling? Yes, the chairman of the company is controlling or the supervisor is controlling? The answer is supervisor, but he's been controlled by someone by which he is controlling others. Okay? So that's what is the answer to your question. It's Krishna. Yamaraj is not there anywhere in picture. No, he's a sadhu. He's a sadhu who has been given a task by Krishna to punish the miscreants and he's doing that. So he's a sadhu. He's one of the greatest devotee of the Lord. One of the greatest devotee of the Lord. So when it comes to Yamaraj, he's superintendent of death. So he gives the death on time. And why he's doing that? Because he's controlled by Krishna. He's ordered by Krishna. You have to do it. If you remember that shloka which I had told. Madbhayati vato yam suryas tapati madbhayat. Then varshatindro dahad agnir mrityos charati madbhayat. So the last line says mrityos charati madbhayat. So the mrityu of people are happening. Because of my fear. It means the mrityu of people is controlled because of my fear. This is what Krishna or Kapil Dev is telling to Devahuti in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I was advertising ISKCON to four people and explaining them about the advantages to do Krishna Bhakti due to Maya Shakti. Oh, they acquired wrong knowledge. That is not Adi. He does not exist, as you said. That everything is his creation and wish could give some points. How can I help them to convey them the authentic purports of Prabhupada? First, I have to understand your purpose. Then I can. Okay, so you want to help someone and then you want to help them by speaking about that everything is creation of the Lord and this is what you want to convey. So see, when you're speaking to someone, analyze what is his stature. And what is his understanding? If the person is scientific, give them scientific understanding. Yes, talk to them about to put a satellite in the space. How much work how much endeavor people do, how much hard work people do. Yes, and sometimes the satellite might just crash and go out from the range. Yes, but when it comes to the planets, they're floating from time immemorial. Never ever we hear that Mars is getting bored from its orbit and it jumps to the orbit of Earth. Never. But who is taking care of all this? If a mere traffic of this world needs a controller, then don't you think that the planets which are revolving from time immemorial needs a controller? Yes. And then we prove about science. People who are very scientific, you have to prove that how science is not everything. You have to prove that science is just the study of existing things and nothing else. That is what science is all about. Study of existing things. Science has not created gravitational law. Gravitational law existed and that was studied and that was put forward as a theory. And that is called as gravitational law or gravitational principle. G equal to 9 point whatever. Yes. So this is how we have to prove to them that science is not everything. Because normally when people say that people are not able to believe that creation is by God because they feel creation is by science. But one thing we have to make people understand is science cannot create anything. Science is just study of things in the surrounding And by studying those things, the science is just modifying the existing things, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and making something. Right? Like small kids, they play Lego. Yeah, so there are everything around and then, you know, put everything together. That's what scientists are doing. And they also play with the Lego. Yes, hope it answers your question. If the soul isn't attached to the body, then please explain why soul doesn't want to go out of the body when Yamraj comes. Because they're completely attached. The soul is completely attached to the body. That is the reason. The soul wants, the soul thinks that without the body, I cannot do sense gratification. Now the soul is completely immersed to do sense gratification. That is the reason. It feels this body is a vehicle to do sense gratification. If I lose this body, then how will I do sense gratification? That is the reason. But when it comes to a devotee, he does not want to do sense gratification. He just wants to serve Krishna. So he just leaves. Hope this answers your question. Is someone practicing other names of Lord Krishna than Krishna? Do we require moving them onto Krishna's chanting? See, all the holy names are powerful, no doubt about that. So we can actually encourage them, go ahead and chant. But no, this Maha Mantra is extremely powerful. Yes, because Lord Krishna has come down as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he has given the Maha Mantra. So there's one nice shloka which says, Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana. So it has come from Goloka. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has come from Goloka. So anyone who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, that is very, very, very effective. Why? The reason is Krishna himself has given this. And he has instructed chant. He has instructed chant these names. So that is the reason we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yeah, if someone is chanting different names of the Lord, you know, they are much, much better, you know, than all others. And if they are very sincere, you know, they might attain perfection also, no doubt. But if they will attain to the fastest possible pace, no, I'm not sure about that. Yes? Because just by following the instruction of Krishna and the Acharya, we can you know, attain the perfection as fast as possible. But by our own endeavor, like for example, I like some name of Krishna, I start chanting that. It's good. But that might not guarantee me the fastest possible way to reach Krishna. Right? So something like that. But if the person is very attached to chanting some names of Krishna, let him do that. No problem. Soul and super soul are in heart as we read. But when heart transplant happens, what? So that's what I said. I didn't say soul and super soul are there in the heart. I said they're in the region of the heart. Yes. So what do you mean by region of the heart? It means they're not in the heart. They're in the space. So even if you remove the heart, you know, the soul and super soul are there in the region. They're not moved out. Yes. What are the practical tips to realize that I am soul and not a body? Attend Bhagavatam sessions. When we read from Bhagavatam and gets nice hammering, then we cannot. To be very frank, by our own endeavor, we cannot realize that I am not the body, I am spirit soul. Only when the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga flows in our life, we'll be able to realize this. Or else not possible. Not possible. How much scientific analysis can we do? How much? Obviously, you know, in the initial sessions and all, we give near-death experience, reincarnation, other things to understand theoretically. But that particular thing to sink in, you know, in our system, it actually needs the mercy of Supreme Lord. So we understand we are not the body or spirit soul theoretically, and then we start practicing bhakti. And when we start practicing bhakti, we attract the mercy of Krishna. And when the mercy flows in our life, mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga flows in our life, automatically we realize we are not the body, we are spirit soul. So the practical tip is do sadhana very nicely every single day. That is the practical tip. If we are cheated in some transaction, should we follow up for court cases, etc., or will forget and move on? It depends on you. It depends on you what to do. See, we have to try. We have to try. No doubt about that. Yes. But then the point that I'm making is we shouldn't over-endeavor and pull down our consciousness like anything. Yes. I've seen that, and I've not seen, I should say I've heard about some cases and read about some cases, that people lose, you know, some X amount and they spend 2X amount to get that X amount. So now, you know, tell me what. So what are we trying to prove, right? So it doesn't make any sense at that particular point of time. But we have to try, no doubt. We have to try. But over-endeavoring is what is not recommended. That's what is told in Nectar of Instruction. Atyahara prayashascha prajalpa niyamagraha. Atyahara. Atyahara basically means over and Atyahara prayasascha. Prayasa basically means over-endeavor. So Rupa Goswami says, don't over-endeavor for anything in this material world. Anything, he says. Endeavor, but don't over-endeavor, he says. Only for bhakti we have to over-endeavor. For bhakti we have to do that. Yes? But for other aspects of life, we have to analyze and see, you know, if there is some use of doing that. And then take a call. Whenever I get, I say, Krishna, Krishna Arpanam. Okay. I'm offering everything to Krishna, good, bad, everything. So that he can control my mind. When sometimes anyone puts me in trouble, I chant or tell those to Krishna, but still I'm suffering from the same person again and again. Is that means I'm not intensely praying or Krishna is not hearing me? I don't understand. If you have attended my previous session, you know, I made this clear that, you know, if something is happening in our life, you know, it's an opportunity to get closer to Krishna. So at that particular point of time, when we are troubled by someone, we intensely pray to Krishna. That, oh Krishna, please help me. I want to attain you this very lifetime. I don't want to stay in this world, you know, which is a filth. I don't want to stay in this world. Yes. So when we say, when we get any problem like that, we pray to Krishna intensely. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. Yes. So now when you're praying to Krishna, so you cannot expect that, okay, Krishna will remove me from the situation. If he desires, he will. If he feels it is good that we should be removed from the situation, he would. But if he feels that if we remain in that situation, we'll learn something greater, then he'll keep us in that situation for many days and many years together. So at that time, what we have to understand is it's the plan of the Lord and let me depend on Krishna completely. And when it comes to troubles of this world, I think now you people can understand it very thoroughly. This is, if you have attended the first session of Gita course, I had given an example and one analogy. That analogy was that when it rains outside and when we don't want to get wet, we take an umbrella with us. We don't get wet. And in our life, the problems, the onslaught of problems are like rains. You cannot stop the onslaught of problems. Not possible at all. So when the onslaught of problems are there, so at that time when you don't want to get affected by those problems, you just put on the shield of bhakti. So when anyone practices bhakti, when a person is completely satisfied within, he will not be troubled by anyone. No person can trouble a devotee. No person. No person. Yes. We have so many pastimes. Like you take the example of Prahlad Maharaj. I'm sure you're not going through the problem what Prahlad Maharaj is going through. I'm sure no one is trying to kill you. Or anyone is trying to put you in fire or this and that. But look at the state of Prahlad Maharaj. Not once, not twice, every single day, repeatedly, who was putting him in problem? His own father was putting him in problem. But since he took shelter of Krishna, no, he was not affected by the problem. Not at all affected. The problems couldn't touch him. Now, a person who is troubling us, who is speaking ill to us, who is chastising us, yes, he might go on. But the day he finds that this person is not affected by anything that I'm doing, no one in this world has that intensity to just go on even when the person is not affected. Only when we get affected, a person gets motivation. Oh, let me do more. You see, people are sadistic, right? They take sadistic pleasure. As soon as they see that the activity of mine is making the person sad, they do it more. But when we realize that when we are stable within by practicing bhakti, by depending on Krishna, even when that is happening, that problem is coming. So at that time, since we are not reacting to it, so at that time the person says, okay, no, nothing is happening. You know, why should I really bother this person more? That's something like that. So what I would say is, we have to become more intense in our devotional service and become stable within. This is what is my answer. Any question which comes like this, this is what is my standard answer. That it is not the problem with other people. Everyone is under the modes of material nature, and everyone who is coming to trouble us is because of our past exchange of karma that is still remaining. That is the reason the person comes to exchange that karma. Yes. So we cannot avoid that. We cannot avoid the three modes of material nature working on other person. But we can avoid that in our own life. How? By becoming very nice devotees, by becoming completely satisfied with him. So this is what is my answer, you know, for you. So basically, I want to say that, you know, become more intense in your devotional service without expecting anything from Krishna. And you'll see the change. You'll see the miracle. What are the characteristics of a person who has internalized and practically understood that he is the soul and not the body? Second chapter, last few verses talks about this. Who is Adhira? So Krishna is describing who is Adhira. Give me the Bhagavad Gita. It is there. Anyways, you can find those verses from Bhagavad Gita where it says that person will be equipoised. He will not be affected by this happiness or painful situation. He will not be affected by blasphemy or glorification. So those are the different stuff. Let me tell you the exact this one. Go to second chapter. Text 54. Arjuna is asking, Stita Pragya Ka Bhasha. So this is the question that he's asking. And then from verse 55 onwards, Krishna is describing, you know, all these various aspects. So text 56, you can see, second chapter 56, he is not disturbed in mind, even amidst threefold miseries. First, not elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is a steady person. And then he is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it. He is firmly fixed in knowledge. And then it goes on. So you can read the verses from text 54 onwards. Text 54 onwards, you can read the verses, you will find the answer. Is there a way for us to test our progress on that path? Our goal is not to realize that I am not the body, I am spirit soul. Our goal is to attain Krishna. Yes. And the byproduct of that is we'll realize that we are not the body of a spirit soul. So the test for us is, am I developing taste in chanting? Am I doing my sadhana every single day? Am I obedient to my superiors, to the instructions given by them? Am I able to do my devotional service without any interruption and without any motivation? Am I expecting some name, fame, prestige in the circle of devotees when I'm doing some service? So these are the different questions that you can ask, and you can get the answers for yourself. Theoretical and practical understanding of this concept may be. Okay. Hope you got the answer. As we discuss now, science is study of existing things. Same way, Krishna consciousness is also a science. But why people are unfortunate to understand this? Because they, according to people now, this, according to them, the science means using a scale, using a microscope, litmus paper, etc. Now, using a scale, microscope, litmus paper, you can never understand what is devotional service. So science means, science has an aim, it has got apparatus. And the apparatus is different for every scientific experiment. Yes. So when you're analyzing something, or when you're trying to understand scientifically, you should know what apparatus to use, and you should know the procedure of that. So most of the people don't know what apparatus to use and what is the procedure. Right. So apparatus is that is chanting, reading, hearing. That is the nine processes of bhakti: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And the process is also the same. And when the person does that very nicely, then he can observe. Then he can observe how scientific it is. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita that Raja Vidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyaksham Agavamam Dharmyam. He says that you can verify this devotional service, he says in Bhagavad Gita. Well, I guess this comes in ninth chapter. It comes in ninth chapter. So get this shloka in ninth chapter. So it's verifiable. So it is scientific. It is scientific. But people fail to understand the apparatus and procedure. So that is the reason they jump from aim directly to conclusion. That bhakti is sentimental. They don't consider it as science. Hope this answers your question. If a person A is troubling another person B, that means B is used as a tool for the past life bad karma of A. Or B is now generating a new bad karma in this life. So very difficult to analyze this, Mataji. Because now suppose someone slaps me, then I might think, oh, now this is a new karma, let me slap him back. But I might never know that slap which was there, that was in previous life or this life. So that is very difficult to analyze. So I don't think we need to analyze so much. I don't think we need to analyze so much about karma. We have to just get fixed up in bhakti. That's it. We have to just get fixed up in bhakti. And as soon as we get fixed up in bhakti, we will not be troubled by anything. Please take my words, because these words are from Bhagavad Gita. Yes.